Stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, we are under no delusions. It is you that builds the church. It's you that builds the church in such a way that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. It's you that builds the church when the gospel is preached and you call people together around the gospel in a unique way that is a work of your Spirit. There's no other way to explain it. Lord, we thank you that you call us to partner with you in this task. We thank you for the opportunity to work at your behest, at your guidance, and at your call. Lord, I pray that over this next 30 minutes, you would ignite in our hearts a passion for church planting, but Lord, mostly a passion for that day when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you would use us to that end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Could I have that glass
no.
with the cover on it, please?
It's on that.
All right, we have slides. It struck me that if pictures are being taken every year at the Synod, at some point when people are reflecting on the history of the Anglican network in Canada, they're going to look back and say, that Ray David Glenn guy always had a mustache. It's Movember, folks. And I'm frankly disappointed that all of you men don't have mustaches. next year. It was encouraging this morning during Bishop Don's charge that he said that the priority, do you remember what he said? What did he say? He said the priority for the Anglican network in Canada is planting churches, and specifically the Anglican 1000. I've invited two friends to come and speak to it. David Roseberry, about 25 years or so ago, planted a church in Texas, in Plano, Texas. It's called Christ Church Plano. You may have heard of it. And he is the director and leader of the Anglican 1000 movement. And Bishop Julian Dobbs is the bishop that's associated with Anglican 1000. Let's welcome David Roseberry first.
Thank you, R.D., a good friend of mine, and one of the joys of Anglican 1000 is I've been able to meet so many brothers and sisters in Christ across the whole North American scene. And I'll just tell you, from my heart to yours, for whatever reason, the Canadian church and what you all have been going through the last decade or so has been close to my heart. And I don't know if any of you were there the moment. It was in 2003. We were planning the Plano Conference, and I really felt in my heart I needed to come fly for whatever it is, 4.5 hours, and I ended up in Vancouver just to issue an invitation to come to the Plano Conference in October of 2003. Many of you came, and it was one of the most encouraging moments of that conference. When the groups, I can't remember what initials you used in those days, but when the whole group stood up in front of everybody, recognizing that you had taken a stand for the gospel, and at that moment you were heroes to the entire North American Anglican group. And I'm back here now in 2011 to issue another invitation, and that is to partner together with, under the umbrella of Anglican 1000, to replant faithful biblical Anglicanism in North America. It's a huge, huge task, and we certainly can't do it any one group. In fact, Anglican 1000 is this massive umbrella that's growing larger all the time as groups come underneath it, simply as a way of sharing resources and encouragement with one another. And I know my name and my time up here was a late entry in the schedule, and I'm very thankful that you've squeezed me in for just a few minutes. Let me tell you a little bit about Anglican 1000, where it started and how it goes. It started really with the Archbishop's installation or his elevation, if you will, in June of 2009. When Bob Duncan stood at the podium, the lectern, the pulpit at Christ Church, and said this, "In the next 5 years, I want us to plant 1,000 new churches," and there was enormous applause. It was just one of those thunderous moments. And then he said, you know, quite modestly, we can do that. And we can help each other do that. And some will plant many, but there shouldn't be any among us who aren't trying to plant some. That was really the spark that got me interested in Anglican 1000. And I called him within a week and I said, are you serious about that? And he said, absolutely. I said, well, then we have to really get busy and see what it is that we can do together. Because you recognize that that what has to happen in the Anglican Church and the U.S., the Canadian Church and the U.S. Church, is a change of culture. We had 9 or 10 church plants that were introduced here in the previous hour, an incredible, incredible response. I was just so impressed. I've got their names. I'm going to be sure they're on our map, and we're going to applaud these church planters. But the reason we say that it's incredible now, and the reason we have such great encouragement of this, is because we essentially treat church planting as a phenomenal thing that happens in a congregation. Wow, some church planted a church, or some group of lay people came together and planted a church, or some bishop said this, and isn't that awesome? And we say it's phenomenal because it doesn't happen that often. And when it does, it's unique and wonderful. But the culture that we are asking God to help create in our new fellowship is a culture that where church planting is normal. And that where we reach out to other people or ethnic groups or new populations, new pockets of people with the love of Jesus Christ and plant a church. So I was, do y'all know what a, did you hear that, y'all? That's Texas, okay? You know what the plural of y'all is? All y'all, right, okay. So, do all y'all know what a shout out is? A shout out? It's when some leader says your name or what you care about. You say, that guy gave me a shout out. Well, we got a shout out this morning in Bishop Harvey's address. He said, our major thrust of Anglican 1000, our exciting challenge, continues to be the primary focus as we advance. And I deeply appreciate those words. That's an incredible endorsement from Canada. And I think these two previously separated by the 49th parallel provinces are now united in an effort that will change the face of Anglicanism in North America. Anglican 1000, I want to be sure that you understand a couple things about it. We will never plant a church. Anglican 1000 is not the church planting arm of the Anglican Church in North America. It is not the church planting arm. We do not plant churches. We celebrate, we find, we bless, we encourage, we equip those who do. In our polity, we don't have the agencies to send missionaries out into the field to plant churches. The people that plant churches, well, they're here in this room. They're the bishops and the rectors and the missionaries and the lay people. You all plant churches. Anglican 1000 is just like a trade association. It's a cheering section so that we can help other people who are trying to plant churches connect to the resources and the other people that are out there. The way I say it is that it's a movement, not the muscle. Okay? The muscle is here in the room. Some people came up to me when we first organized this and said, aren't you kind of nervous that you know, you're going to work for so hard and for 5 years and you may not reach a thousand churches? I care about reaching 1,000 new plants. I don't know that we will or not, but it's not, I don't carry the pressure of that because I planted the church I'm in and I'm happy with it. We've planted other churches out of Christ Church since the call, the summons from the Archbishop. But the real church planters are not me or really Anglican 1000. The church planters are you. And all the people that you have associated with your Anglican heart here in Canada. I was interested to hear this morning a little bit about, and I've actually heard about it from a few people, if you don't mind my just having a pastoral word with you, that there's some amount of conversation, regrets too is much too strong a word, but people are in essence looking in the rear view mirror of what happened years ago and saying, well, was it worth it? And I want to tell you, as I look through the front windshield of where we're going, the future is enormously bright. I mean, incredibly bright. You know, you look in that little rear view mirror off to the side, you need to keep one thing in mind. If you look in the back, objects are closer than they appear, all right? Okay. You may see that it looks a lot sweeter than it actually was. You look in the big windshield, the windscreen, some of you might say, and what you have out there is an absolute open pioneer situation that no generation has had for 200 years. And it is an enormous opportunity, one that we go to God with on our knees. And Anglican 1000 is that effort to coalesce the energies of the Anglican Church in Canada, the ANIC, still don't know all the details, and the ACNA and the AMIA and the REC and the APA and all that sort of alphabet soup. And so you might ask, how are we doing? How are we doing so far? And I'll tell you, I know kind of where we are, but I just heard 7 or 8 churches named as new plants that I didn't know about and that aren't on our website yet. But the ones that we count, we have 150 new starts in the last 2 years. Now, I'll give you an idea of how powerful that is. The jurisdiction I came from, the Episcopal Church, in the 15 years from 1980 to 1995, planted 360 congregations, okay? So over 15 years, they planted, just for comparison, 360 new congregations. In 2 years, we've seen 150 be raised up. That doesn't count the churches I just heard about this afternoon, doesn't count the churches that are out there in the U.S. portion of this effort, and it doesn't count all those church planters that are in the pipeline getting ready to plant. In other words, I have to tell you something. I don't know how many churches are being planted. And that's really a good thing, because it means that the effort, the energy is so decentralized that it's out there happening well beyond our control, and we don't really want to control it. You go to our website, anglican1000.org, and you'll see a map, and on the map are a bunch of yellow dots, and those yellow dots represent churches in the U.S. and Canada. And let me tell you something. I went to the College of Bishops and I said, you need to help me theologically define what a church is, because some churches get organized and they start up and you wonder, well, are they having Eucharist or is it morning prayer? Do they have an ordained person or non-ordained person? A lot of questions to answer. And I just simply said, look, for my purposes, if you want to be a church, our definition is, you've got a website, okay? If you have a website, God bless you. We want to know about you, and we'll put you on here. Because a website means there's an identity, and if you obviously you don't have a website, you know in this culture you don't really exist, right? Amen? So you have a website, that means you have people, you have contact, you have a location, you have some presence. So we have 150 websites so far, but there are dozens of others that come in. And I want to say one thing about the whole energy of Anglican 1000, and then I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Bishop Julian Dobbs. Anglican 1000 is a number of things. It's a website, it's an e-newsletter. It's a series of gatherings that we have on a regional basis. But I think the most important thing that Anglican 1000 does to meet is gather in an annual summit. We've had two of these, and they've been just spectacular. The third one is coming up in March, March 6, 7, and 8, down at Christ Church in Plano. It'll be a great moment. We expect hundreds and hundreds of church planters and their spouses and rectors who want to start churches and lay people who want to learn how to do this. It's kind of the place to be if you're interested in church planting. It's so important that, especially for church planters and for seminarians, that we've actually taken the price of it, I can't remember what it is, and cut that in half for all church planters, active church planters, within a 3 or 4 year window. If you can't get down there and you need scholarship funds, we'll see what we can do. Also want to tell you that as a church planter myself, the unseen strength for me, besides the Holy Spirit, was my wife. And she stood behind me 100% for the last 26 years. And we made a decision at the last Anglican 1000 Church Planting Summit to fully scholarship every spouse from that point forward. So if you're a church planter, you come half off. If your spouse can come, he or she will come free, okay? And you will be blessed. It's basically 48 hours of nonstop love, networking, fellowship, worship, and connection. So you need to be there if you have a heart for church planting. The number one challenge that we have now is not money. It's not even will. It's leaders. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, the fields are white with the harvest. Pray, therefore, for laborers to come into the field. That's our focus now. We're developing a pipeline where young leaders can come in, find training, and emerge on the other side ready to plant a church. And as God would have it, the Lord allowed us at Anglican 1000 really to call on our team the youngest Anglican bishop in the whole communion, a fellow that is a dear, dear man of God and rapidly becoming a very good friend. And he's going, his charge, his work is to develop this pipeline of leaders. And you all know people like that. Leaders who could and should be doing this kind of work. And Julian Dobbs, Bishop Julian Dobbs, is going to share a little bit about what he sees out there in the field as he's out there developing this pipeline and where we go from here. Bishop Dobbs.
Thank you, David. I'm so very excited to be here. Thank you, Bishop, for your invitation to us. I'm very excited about Anglican 1000. Very excited. I'm even more excited about the replanting of biblical missionary Anglicanism across North America, aren't you?
Amen.
Because it takes hard work to replant Anglican churches, to get your hands dirty, to get involved, and to plant this new thing that God has called us to at the moment. And one of the big challenges that I so often hear from people as I talk about church planting is, why plant? We've got all these churches already existing, some of them that are half empty, some of them that aren't even being used. Why plant new churches? I want to tell you very quickly about Chris. Chris and her husband owned a small 7-Eleven store in a strip mall. Neither of them attended church, but both needed to hear the gospel message. And their local Anglican diocese planted and singled out a new young church planter, took a risk with that church planter, and they planted a new Anglican church in that area, very close to that 7-Eleven store. The church planter reached out to Chris and her husband, and Chris began attending the church and later was trained and commissioned as a worship leader and a lay preacher in that church plant. On one occasion, Chris brought her friend Diane to the new church plant. Diane, as I recall, had no Christian foundation in her life, but she came to this new church plant, committed her life to Jesus, was baptized, follows Christ. Recently, she committed a bachelor's in theology degree and was ordained and is using her gifts in the ministry of the church. That likely would not have happened if that church plant had not been planted by that diocese in that location. This is why we plant new congregations. I was very excited at the last Anglican 1000 summit to hear Dr. Tim Keller say, "The continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for, one, the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and two, the continual corporate renewal and revival of churches in a city." That's why we plant new churches. And I'm very excited about this missional thrust that we've got as we launch into this initiative that God's called us together. That's why we plant. So should we be planting? Well, we heard those fantastic testimonies that the two bishops led before the break. Should we be planting more churches across the Anglican network in Canada? I had some figures researched for me when I flew up here. In fact, you know, they almost didn't let Dave Roseberry across the border. We flew in together. I had to flash my New Zealand passport to get us across, because he started using words like he used here that none of us understand. But I come from a country, originally, I live in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. for the last 5 years. I originally come from New Zealand, which is a secular country, the home of the Rugby World Cup. Yes! Woo! And look out, it'll soon be the home of the America's Yachting Cup once again as well. However, I come from a country which, like Canada, is in the midst of a post-Christian generation. I know what it is to plant churches. I've been involved in the planting of three separate churches and additionally three congregations in a very post-Christian culture. The biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges, and Bishop Don mentioned this in his charge to us, the figures that I had done just this past week, by 2031, that's in the lifetime of many people in this room, by 2031, approximately 1 in 12 Canadians will be Muslims on present trends. The Muslim population in Canada is expected to double in the next 20 years. And brothers and sisters, you know the challenge that plants lays before us is the planting of new churches to reach people with the gospel message which will transform lives in this nation which you love as I do. Now's the time to step on the gas. That's what we're doing in Anglican 1000. We're recruiting young clergy and church planters who are called by Almighty God and gifted by the Holy Spirit with a sacrificial willingness, where necessary, to be bivocational, to establish new missions and grow them. And we've got some great tools that I want to make available to you. We're beginning to make available a Saturday seminar called Am I a Church Planter? I only planted a congregation because a bishop took a risk in me and put his hand on my shoulder one day and said, "How about planting a church in a city called Nelson, New Zealand?" I didn't know anything about planting, but I did a seminar similar to this one. I realized I had some gifts and skills that God might be able to use in the planting of churches, and you will know people in your congregations and in your missional settings that might be church planters. We'd love to come into your regional settings with this four or so hour seminar on a Saturday, invite the seminarians, invite those who you think God might be tagging as church planters, and let's take them through this program and see vision released into their lives. We've also got an assessment tool, which will soon be available on the Anglican 1000 website. We'll be able to use it in this Saturday seminar, but the assessment tool will help you if you're a rector or a bishop, and you send someone forward to consider whether they do have the skills or the gifts that God needs to plant new congregations. This assessment tool will be available to you. We'll be able to build a network of individuals who God is using and calling. And I encourage you to use those two tools in the annual summit next March as great foundations for moving this whole missional approach to replanting biblical Anglicanism in North America. But finally, what about you? Maybe God's calling you to plant a new Anglican church in Canada. Maybe he's calling you and tagging you and saying, yes, I could go to that seminar to see if I've got those gifts. I could use that assessment tool to see if I've got those gifts that God might be using. I'm willing to take early retirement to plant a new Anglican church, no matter what the cost may be for me and my family, because it is tough. It's tough on our spouses. It's tough on our families. But gospel work is meant to be tough. Jesus never said it would be a bed of roses. Amen? So brothers and sisters, I'm encouraging you to invite us to come to share this vision for replanting biblical Anglicanism across North America. And with God's help, we can do it. And Nehemiah was referred to earlier today, I think by my colleague Canon Ashi. Come, let us arise and build, for the God of heaven will give us success. God bless you.
Microphone C, Bishop Ferris.
On behalf of the Synod, I'd like to extend appreciation to both David and Julian for being with us. For those of you who haven't been to Plano, Christchurch is a touchstone for our whole province. It's where our Archbishop was installed. It's where Anglicans 1000 was launched. It's I think there's over 2,000 people there on a Sunday, but I get shivers whenever I go in that place and know what it means for this moment in history and for our province, for the Anglican 1000 initiative. It's a wonderful time to be an Anglican. It's a great opportunity before us, and it's probably the most important priority we should have now, as our bishop has said to us this morning. And we give thanks for Plano, for Anglican 1000, and for all the leadership that you men are showing for us. Thank you.
Now it's my turn. I have exactly 32 seconds. Now 31. We've talked about Anglican 1000. We've talked about it being the strategic priority right now for our diocese of the Anglican Network in Canada. How do we participate in that? Bishop Dobbs and David have both told you participating in the summit is a great way for us to benefit from something much larger than us. You know, if we were to try to put on a summit, it would cost a lot of money and it would be very hard to do, but this way we can just participate. The other thing, as Bishop Dobbs suggested, take a look at the assessment tool once it's online. Send it out to your friends, your people in your network that you think might need that pat on the shoulder or that tap on the back that Julian received from his bishop, and get them to fill it out. Our church planting working group has been meeting now for a couple of years. And if you guys would just stand, it consists of Sean Love out in Richmond, Ron Ferris, who's already standing, me, Dan Anderson, there's Dan, Michael McKinnon down in the Southern Colony, and Don Hamilton. And what, thank you guys, just I wanted you to be able to see their faces so that you can know who to talk to. Our church planting working group is an advisory group. We don't actually make decisions. What we do is we advise the bishop, who's also the chair of the Synod Council. Our mandate is fourfold. First of all, we articulate theological foundations. We must keep the gospel out front. Otherwise, we just end up planting social interest groups and country clubs. The gospel is what plants churches. You know, it's when the gospel's preached that the Lord's people are pulled together and churches form. So we need to keep the gospel out front. The second thing we do is develop policies to support. We also receive applications for funding, and we try to provide training and support to church planters. Last year, to try to support and train, we ran plant and grow meetings all across Canada. Sean suggested that we call them weed and feed, but plant and grow seemed more gentle. If you went to a plant and grow, just raise your hand. I know quite a few did, yeah. So we had them in Langley, in Victoria, in Burlington, in Ottawa, and in Moncton. we wanted to encourage and train church planters deep biblical foundations and practical tools. The other aspect of our mandate that I mentioned is to develop policies. We have a policy booklet, and if you're policy-minded, get it and read through it. It's our church planting policy that has been adopted by the board of directors at the time of ANIC. We've developed memoranda of understanding. Is that the correct Latin ending? No. Memoranda? Classically trained bunch, I guess. For projects, plants, and parishes. And those memorandum of understanding, what they do is they serve as a bit of a checklist as you're moving from being a project to a plant to a parish. If you can go through and fill out those MOUs, that'll guide you through the process. The last two things that we've developed just this year are both applications to funding. We've been talking about this for a couple of years. Now, the great irony is that they are applications to funds that we do not have. No, really. But we believe that as we need these funds, that the Lord will provide, that that it's the mission of the church that really drives the fundraising. And so as we start to receive these applications, we're praying that the funds will come. If you're interested in church planting funding or congregational development funding, come see one of us. Who you just saw stand from the working group. Thank you so much for your time. David Roseberry, would you come and close this time in prayer?
I often find that church planters have something inside of them that starts to beat a little faster when you start talking about church planting. I'd invite those who are church planters and anyone who feels in their heart there might be a call there for you to stand as we pray. Those people that had planted churches that were named earlier, and those people who feel that they might, we may make that 1,000 mark. The Lord be with you. Father in heaven, you see these men and women standing, presenting themselves to you in the honored tradition that was begun by the great apostle Paul, who took the gospel to far and away places. And now give us that same heart and passion and courage. Give us the power and the initiative of the Holy Spirit and bring fruitfulness to the work that we do. All because we love your Son, Jesus, and we trust in the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.